Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. For he's been good to us. Hallelujah. You may be seated for just a moment. I don't want to consume a lot of time with formalities today, but I do want to give honor to the McGuires, specifically Pastor, for allowing me to be up here today. For me, this is a privilege that I do not take lightly to approach the pulpit, especially where truth is professed from the pulpit. It's something that it is the highest office in the land for me. There are many offices, but the apostolic pulpit is the highest because it's where we learn about salvation, where we learn how to take care of our families, and where we learn how to live for God. So I give honor to the pastor because he's guarded it and left it undefiled. If we could stand in honor of the reading of the word today, I'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It should be a very familiar verse to most of us as I begin reading it. Just to lay some foundation for this scripture, the writer here is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to a young Timothy. Timothy is the pastor of a Holy Ghost-filled, baptized in Jesus' name church. That will be important today because this is instruction that is given to the church. Paul's words in this last book that he was to write for his earthly ministry carry great weight. In this last chapter, he's trying to pour into Timothy what would be some of the last words he was ever to write. And we'll see here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'd like to read that one more time. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My lesson title today will be the simple question, are you approved? You may be seated. We heard 2 weeks ago that God is a God of detail in our Wednesday study. Everything that God does has an order to it, a divine order. He's very detail-oriented. He doesn't simply say, let's build an ark, or let's build a tabernacle, or let's build the temple. There's very specific detail and instruction that he gives us. Today, I'll be looking at 6 points in this one verse of instruction, and I'll use other verses in the Bible to correlate the instruction that's given to the church. The 6 points are as listed. The first is to study. The second will be to show thyself. The third is approved unto God. The fourth is a workman. And the fifth is that needeth not to be ashamed, with the last point being rightly dividing the word of truth. The first is study. In the Greek, to study means to hasten, to make haste, to exert oneself, to endeavor or give diligence. In this context, to study means to make a forceful effort. It's to bring an action about. And before we could ever truly know the contents of the Bible, it will take studying the Bible. Not a casual reading like some magazine cover in the checkout line of a grocery store, but it will take an approach to God's word in a manner that we can attain understanding. Before a Bible study can ever be given, it will take time spent studying the Bible. And as Christians, our approach to study should have the same fervency as any other part of our life. If we could shout during praise and worship, we should have that same zeal about us as we study the Word of God. If we're able to pray with fervency and zeal and dedication, we should have that same dedication as we study His Word. And the same goes for the preached word. If we're able to react to the preached word, we should be able to react to studying the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, see thee that ye walk circumspectly, that's to carefully and cautiously walk, not as fools, but as wise. The definition of fool is lacking mental sanity and sobriety. It's not a great report to be called a fool. And to be wise here is skilled in letters, cultivated, learned, and forming the best means for execution. So we are to walk about carefully and cautiously, not as lacking mental sanity, but someone that is learned, and we're executing the best means. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We know that the days are evil by just looking around. but we are to redeem the time with things that are beneficial to the kingdom of God and our spirit in a balanced way. Now, I'm not saying that we need to lock ourselves in a room with a concordance and a Bible, watching Lee Stone King on YouTube for 7 days. My wife doesn't approve of that. I've done it. But on the flip side to the coin, we're not to spend 7 days without studying his word or a time of devotion or a time of prayer, spending time with the Lord. So we need to have a balanced approach to everything that we do. What we do with our time now will determine how we spend our eternity. It is a life or death decision that we make daily with how we are redeeming our time. Our greatest enemy in this day and age is distraction. It's what we do with our time and how we manage it. We should be redeeming it, doing kingdom work and kingdom-minded things. Amen. Verse 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. One key to understanding what the will of the Lord is in your personal life will come from a disciplined time of study and prayer. When I first came to the Lord, maybe the first 6 months, 12 months in my conversion process, there were things that were difficult for me at that time. I was pulling away from the people I'd hung around with, the things I did. But after a while living for the Lord, the biggest thing for me to accomplish, or the biggest discipline for me to have in my life, was a personal devotion to God and what I did with my time. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, I have a lot of scripture here today. I don't apologize for that, because if God's out in the front of this, we'll be okay. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest, that's to pursue, after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her and if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Notice the feminine form here. If thou seekest her, that's knowledge, as silver and searcheth for her as for hid treasures. We will have to dig in the scripture to find the nuggets of wisdom. How many of you have ever grabbed a Bible and just randomly opened it up and put your finger on a verse? That's not the approach that God's looking for. We have to have a plan or an action as we study his word. He's not some magic eight ball that we're looking for a fortune to happen. We have to have a plan. We will have to dig in the scripture, and it takes time. It takes time spent with the Lord. There's a verse in the Bible says, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. It takes time to get the wisdom and knowledge of God. Here in verse 5, dropping down to verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So it'll be after we're seeking for knowledge as hidden treasure that we would understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's going to be the Lord is where we get wisdom from, divine wisdom and divine understanding. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 and 13. There's going to be a reoccurring theme here. This is Solomon that's writing this book. This is the wisest man aside from God himself. Verse 5, get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, and neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, in verse 6, and she, once again the feminine context, shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. This is talking about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Take fast hold of instruction, and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Once again, this is Solomon, who's the wisest man in the Bible. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and instruction were all referred to in feminine form. And I truly feel that Solomon was paralleling the relationship between man and woman as an intimate relationship as we seek out understanding and we seek out wisdom and we seek out the knowledge of God. There's an intimacy there. It's a personal intimacy as we seek it out, as we have personal time spent daily studying his word. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and instruction are all interwoven and increased in part by a commitment to studying God's word. My second point is to show thyself. We are studying to show thyself. Before we could ever tell another person one thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will have to know it for ourselves. In our minds and in our hearts, we are studying to show ourselves the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, we are to buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And in our spiritual life, we should purchase these things. We should be investing our time in the truth. We should be investing our time in wisdom. We should be investing our time in instruction and understanding. It's a reoccurring theme. Is God approving of how much we are investing in ourselves towards the kingdom of God? Are we spending time to where our knowledge would be increased, where we could help others? Our goal is to spread the gospel of Jesus, and without us knowing it for ourselves, we can't teach others. When we receive the word of God with all readiness of mind, that's to be sharp and alert, we could seek what God has for us as individuals. Personal relationship with him is something that the Lord longs for. The Lord desires personal time with each and every one of us. It's why he was with Adam in the cool of the morning. God knew everything about Adam. What God desired from Adam was for Adam to share what he thought and what he felt with the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Here we see Paul telling the saints of Philippi that they had always obeyed while he was right there. And it's easier for us to be in obedience when the pastor's here with us. But now they were without his oversight, and they will have to continue working on their own salvation. On Monday, that's not when we stop working on our salvation. After the service today, we have to continue steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles. And we will get that by ourselves working out our own salvation. In my darkest times as a Christian, it was apostolic doctrine and having it deep within my bones that kept me. It's been something I've been able to lean on heavily in very dark times. A few weeks ago, Brother David Gomes said there was a time where all he had was the Holy Ghost. And as soon as he said that, it touched me because I could relate to that. And there will be times in our life where all we have is the Holy Ghost and the doctrine of God. And we could lean on his word. If when the world is on fire, we could lean on the word of God. And in order for us to lean on it, we will have to have it deep within our hearts. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we all know that story. They faced the fiery furnace, or we know that part of the story. When they faced the fiery furnace, their spiritual leader at that time, Daniel, was not with them. This is going back. There will be a time in our lives where what the pastor has taught us and what we have studied will be tried. And we need to know the word at that time to be able to battle trials and tribulations that will come up in our life. These men knew that they were not to worship false idols. So without the pastor present, they said, we will bow before no more false idols. And they were alone. They were working out their salvation alone. My third point today is approved unto God. We will have to answer to God one day for the things that we have done or haven't done. His approval supersedes anything that man would approve of. The highest thing in our life is for God to approve of what we're doing. The ultimate approval of God will be to hear those words, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. That's why we're here today. It's to make it to heaven. We want to hear God's approval and let him tell us to enter in. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Situations in life can arise where in our minds we know what we think is the right direction we need to be headed in. We come up with a plan that we have and present it to God and say, you know, if you would work out this, that and this in our life, that would be perfect. In my experience, it almost never works out that way. That being said, when it doesn't work out according to our master plan that we've presented the Lord with, we have to trust in what the Lord is doing in our lives and not try to understand these situations for ourselves. It's God's approval that we're after. The Word and the Spirit agree. God will not tell you anything contrary to what's found in the Bible. If you feel like the Lord is telling you something and it's in contradiction to what's found in the Bible, that's not the Lord. That's you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. Many of these verses are coming from Proverbs. Solomon, like I said earlier, being the wisest man, is where you would get wisdom from. I encourage anyone seeking wisdom or knowledge to read the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We are not to be wise in our own eyes. We're looking for divine wisdom, the wisdom of God in our lives. When we think we are wise, that's not a good place to be in. What a dangerous place to be in when we think that we are wise enough without the help of God in everything we do. We need God's approval in the most mundane to the highest form of tribulation in our life. We need for God to be in approval of that. Are we jumping ahead of his will by not patiently waiting and praying as we seek his divine approval in our lives? In Galatians verse 1, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Once again, we are not after the approval of man, for man can ultimately be corrupted. But the approval of God leads to eternity. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. We are seeking to do his will. If we're looking for perfection, it will be the will of God in our lives. The state of mankind today is instant gratification. We live in a society today where it's fast food and we want things immediately. We want immediate results as soon as we think them. We don't spend times or seasons or moments waiting on his approval in our lives. We need to be waiting for that. My fourth point is a workman. That's a laborer or somebody that's not idle. We are all called to do a work in some capacity for the kingdom of God. Be that shaking hands all the way to the pulpit. We are all called to be workmen in his kingdom. One of the most beautiful sights for me is to see the church in operation, unorchestrated, and doing the work of God. The other day, Wednesday, I'll give you an example. Wednesday for Trunk or Treat, I don't know if all of you were here, but for those that were here, there was a moment in time where I just stood back and I watched the church in operation engage with our visitors, people that were not church folks, they were sinners, but I watched the church in operation. They had people doing everything. They had people doing all types of work, being the body of Christ. Some were feeding food. Some were at their trunks. Others were floating around shaking hands. Others were getting contact information. But it's a beautiful thing to see the church at work and in operation. It's what God wants the church to be, a working church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are to labor together for church work days as we transition in buildings. Someone's got to mow the grass. Someone's got to turn the lights on. Somebody's got to put the AC on. Someone's got to study for the message. We all have to be workmen in some capacity. As we labor together in the kingdom, this helps us to make us approved workmen of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, I think you'll like this verse, Brother Cron. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and the doctrine. So here we see that we are to go from a natural work to a spiritual work, the elders that labored in the word and the doctrine that have helped disciple young Christians and have brought Christians up. So we're not only to mow the grass or turn the AC on or vacuum the floor, but we're also to labor in his word and his doctrine through home Bible studies, through teaching in some capacity. Verse 18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward. So as you labor for the kingdom, the Lord will reward you for that. We're not working in vain. We're working for a reward that we'll find one day. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. The Lord is coming back, and he will give us a reward according to what we have labored for in the kingdom. If there ever was a time that the local church needed to be full of workmen, it is now. In this hour, the Lord is calling us to be faithful to the church and the kingdom work. He's calling the idle hand back to the plow. The word says that the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. Lakeland needs laborers. He needs Grace Point working for the kingdom of God. We must be workmen in the kingdom to be approved. Amen. My fifth point is that needeth not to be ashamed. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. If we are ashamed of him, the word says that he will be ashamed of us. And this is in the red letters of Jesus. This is in the voice of Jesus. We are not to be ashamed of the Lord in any way. In public, if you could shout in church, you should be able to shout the aisles of Home Depot. We shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord in any capacity. And while that may seem comical, but we shouldn't be ashamed in the workplace. Many times I've had employees say, would you like to, I had one the other day, 2 weeks ago. I have a knot in my lymph node. She was in tears, and she wanted me to pray for her. Well, I have cameras everywhere, and my initial thought was, you know, if they catch me on cameras, this is going to be an HR trip. But I went beyond that and laid my hands on her on the floor right there, on the manufacturing floor, and began to pray for her, and with the knowing that I cannot be ashamed of Christ. I cannot be ashamed of Jesus and his work, no matter the place I'm in, no matter the time, the circumstance. We are not to be ashamed. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's good news for us. We're the Greek. And when you have experienced Pentecost, according to Acts 2 and 38, and have been born of the water, that's to be baptized in Jesus' name, and of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are no longer bound to sin and a life of shame. That shame was under the blood. We are to walk in victory in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's no condemnation. If you're in a state of condemnation, that could be remedied. That could be remedied by following through with God's plan for salvation, to take that curse of shame away from us. My sixth and final point is rightly dividing the word of truth. There are many professing Christianity that have not divided the word rightfully. And if you use the Bible in any way that does not glorify God or is in complete alignment with the truth, then you are not functioning in the will of the Lord. Rightly dividing means to cut straight ways, to proceed on straight paths, to hold a straight course. It's the equivalent of doing right. The word of God will never contradict itself, period. We must remember to keep scripture in its setting. We need to know the audience and the writer of scripture as we study his word. We must always maintain an ear to hear and a teachable spirit. No matter where we are in our walk with the Lord or how long we have walked with the Lord, we are to remain having a teachable spirit and an open ear. His word never changes, but our knowledge could always be increased. Rightly dividing the word is a matter of life and death spiritually. How the word is divided will determine if we make it to heaven or not, because I'll get to that in a second. Everything we need to know is compiled in the Bible. And rightly dividing the word. I did a search to see what the most searched scripture in the Bible is. Does anyone know what that might be? John 3:16. And I've grown to love the verse. But John 3:16, we see it on sports players. We see it on people on television programs. You'll see John 3:16. And I've learned to love it in all of its beauty. But if you only read this verse, the conclusion could be made that only believing in Jesus will lead to everlasting life. So if we just leave the verse right there, many people, and there are many people that believe, all that I have to do is believe on Jesus. All that I have to do is accept Christ. And when I hear that, it drives me insane, because for us to make the statement that we accept Jesus is crazy for me. But if you were to back up just 11 verses from John 3:16 and read John 3:5, we would see that Jesus is telling Nicodemus, a learned man of the Jews, what must happen for him to enter into the kingdom. And we know that you must be born of the water, then born of the Spirit, before you could see the kingdom or enter into the kingdom. So if we believe in Jesus, then we believe in what Jesus says. And Jesus is telling us here that we must be born of water. That's baptism in his name. And born of the Spirit. That's filled with the Holy Ghost. Before we could enter into heaven. Before we could complete the plan of salvation. And if we were to divide the word and then go right to Acts 2:38 from that, we know that, you know, if we were to repent for the remission of our sins and then be baptized in the name of Jesus, then infilled with the Holy Ghost, that we would have the plan of salvation completed in our life. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We are thoroughly furnished and thoroughly equipped when we stay in the Word of God. And that's why I felt absolutely comfortable with the amount of scripture that I had today. Because if I put God's Word before, then I think that I'm on the right path. In Revelation 22:18-19, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So if we add to the word of God something that's not written there, there's a curse that comes. And if we take away from the word of God, if we don't fulfill it, if we just stop at John 3:16 and believe only in Jesus Christ and don't fulfill the new birth, then we are not rightly dividing the word of God. In closing, if we could stand to our feet. In closing, if we will receive, retain, and act upon what is written in the Word of God, we can make it to heaven. We should not take the Word of God lightly. We are to remember to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and rightly dividing the Word of truth. If we could lift our hands for a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word that went forth today. I ask that you would give us revelation, dear Lord. I ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, thus with saith the Lord. Help us to study, mighty God. Help us to show ourselves what salvation is in your mighty word. Give us direction, dear Lord. Let us form line upon line and precept upon precept, because we desire your approval, mighty God. We desire your approval in all things. Help us to be workmen that are not ashamed, rightly dividing your word. Help us to be defenders of the gospel. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. There'll be refreshments in the hall. We have about